everyone, to Gospel Alliance Radio. I'm Shane Sands. I am your host for today's program. I am blessed to be the founder and president of United in Christ Jesus, a missions ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew, out of breath. Like last week, running around, last-minute things to do. But praise God, we're up and going, and what a show today. We are going to try to finish up, pardon me, from where we were last week. So the title of today's program is True Light and Filthy Rags, Part 2. We're going to be looking at perhaps, excuse me, one of the most difficult aspects for Christians and non-believers to actually get a hold of, to understand, to come to grips with, grapple with, and that is, how are you saved? And when you're saved, do you have to do certain things? Do you have to do works? What is it as a Christian you have to do? As a non-Christian, what is it you have to do? And so often, as far as I know, every religion other than Christianity, and there might be some out there that I haven't heard of, well, I know there's some I've not heard of, but some out there that are not works-based. The difference between Christianity and all other religions that I'm aware of is that all the others are man-centered. What can I do? What do I have to do? And only in Christianity is what you have done is earned death, and it's what God has done to make a way where there was no way. So today, we're going to jump into this, and we have just have an hour for the program today. So I'm going to kind of try to move a little speedily through this, and hopefully we'll get to some scriptures that are taken out of context. I was hoping to do that last week and got sidetracked a little bit there. So again, I'm Shane Sands. If you have a question, if you have a comment, keep it to the subject. If it's of the subject, you're welcome to call in. You're welcome to be a part of the program. If it's on a different subject, you're more than welcome to find United in Christ Jesus on Facebook, to go to the website, www.unitedinchristjesus.org, or .com or .net, either one. It'll redirect to the .org. And you can leave a message there. And I'll be more than glad to take any recommendations, any topics, and do programs on that. I want to try and make that as convenient as possible. For those of you who have not joined before with United in Christ Jesus or on Gospel Alliance Radio, this is not going to be a in-depth college-level vocabulary, theological/doctrinal dive-in. What I want to do, and what my whole hope and goal has been, other than after glorifying God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, is to make this program one so that a lay person can easily understand, can easily take the information and share it with others, because we're all busy. We all have things that are going on. I just got done with work, ran home, had to get the dog out, had to make sure I got my coffee. You know, you just, I get it. We get busy. So I believe the Lord has gifted me and blessed me and entrusted to me different platforms to be able to reach out to share these things so that we might know God as He is and worship Him and have our eyes fixed upon Christ and where He is, and that one day we will be there with Him, seeing Him. So with that, I am going to start off like I try to do every show with a scripture reading. Then after that, I'll have a quick word of prayer. I'm going to recover last week briefly what we went through, and then we are going to jump right on in to finishing up. So I said all of that, it feels like, with one breath. All right, today's scripture reading is going to be from 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 4, and then we're going to read all the way through verse 11. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Righteous Heavenly Father, glorious God, you who sit enthroned in the heaven, and yet the highest heavens and all of creation cannot contain you. You are God, majestic and beautiful. You who dwell in unapproachable light. May it please you this day to grant your unworthy servant to declare your praises, the praises of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might grant me to be strengthened with power in my inner person by your Spirit, that I would be able to be humble and to speak your word in truth, to make known, these words, that they would come across and be easily understood, that what is difficult might become clear. Oh Lord, I confess that I am not capable of this in myself, for your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You, Lord, only you, and without you, I will wallow in idolatry. I will wallow in pity. So I ask you, please, to show favor and grant this program to be used for your glory and praise, to the building up of the saints. And I pray that if one hears who does not know your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, that today you would grant them eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. All right. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Last week, it seemed like, it didn't just seem like, it was. It was a very difficult program last week. It seems like everything that could have happened to try and derail the program did happen. So no such thing as coincidence. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is of the Lord. So I know that last week, the program, there was a concerted effort, spiritual warfare, to keep from this discussion occurring. And I know it's a touchy subject. There are people who are very nice people who, as Stephen Covey would say in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, have their ladders on the wrong wall. So last week, we started looking at in Luke, I think it was Luke 18 and 19, we started looking at two different examples of one being a works-based morality and another true salvation. We looked at the rich young ruler in Luke 18. And then we looked at Zacchaeus in Luke 19. When we looked at the rich young ruler, he came up. If you follow in the parallel passages, the summation is something like this. Rich young ruler comes up and it says, basically, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? Oh, and there's none good except God alone, which wasn't a means of Jesus denying that he was God. It was, how do you know this? How do you know who I am? But then Jesus goes on to say, well, what does the law say? You know, don't commit murder. And the rich young ruler was like, well, from my youth up, I've kept all of these things. What am I still lacking? Jesus looks at him with love. And he says, one thing you still lack. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. The rich young ruler, at hearing that, turns and goes away grieved because he owned a whole lot of property. Well, Jesus then looks at his disciples and says, you know, how hard it is for the wealthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to say, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And so the disciples were amazed and they're like, who can be saved? And Jesus says, with people, this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. There is interesting, when we looked at the rich young ruler, in the parallel passages, I think it's in Mark, he knows he's still lacking something. He's kept the parts of the law. The Lord Jesus never brought up the most important part of the law, and in essence then was going to reveal that this young ruler was living off of morality. Look what good things I have done. In essence, he was an idolater. He was looking at self. Because, see, the Lord Jesus never said, hey, you didn't do these things. He never said that. He never contended and said, you know, no, you're lying. You haven't loved, you know, your neighbor. He had forgotten that the first number one rule, number one commandment is the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So when Jesus said, go do this, and you're going to have treasure in heaven, the young ruler couldn't do that. He walked away grieving, which showed that he didn't really love God. And when he didn't really love God, it meant he could not really love as he should love. His heart was exposed. Jesus very kindly, and it says it looked on, it says that he looked on him with love, and he exposed his heart to a selfish idolatry. Then we go over to Luke chapter 19, and we hear about Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus is a wee little man. You might have heard that, a wee, wee little man. Well, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, and he is wealthy, which means he probably has got other tax collectors beneath him. The way things worked back in that day, Rome collected tax, and it basically, you know, paid for the soldiers, bought all of that stuff. Well, they didn't just have Roman citizens sitting in their, you know, tax booth. What they did is they would go in and the people would bid to be who's going to be the tax collector. So they would pay Rome whatever amount of money. And then once they got that, then they would collect the tax from the people. And quite often it was extortion. And with the backing of the Roman government, there wasn't much anybody could do. So tax collectors were considered worse than Samaritans, worse than sinners. They were the lowest of the low. And if you jump back into the Gospels real quick, one of the apostles, Matthew, was a tax collector. And when he heard when Jesus says, follow me, he dropped everything he was doing and he followed him. So tax collectors, this guy was really wealthy and he was probably very much hated. And yeah. So Zacchaeus had something going on in his life. Something was happening. God was working in his life. He heard that Jesus was about to pass that way, and since he couldn't see him, he ran and he climbed up into a sycamore tree and basically got out on a branch. You know, friends, that was an undignified thing to do. When Zacchaeus climbed up the tree, got into the tree, got out on the branch so he could see Jesus, that was not something that a wealthy person would do. And that, you know, the A-listers would have looked at him like, have you lost your mind? It was not the best of things. But Zacchaeus didn't care about perception. He did not care about the other parts. What he wanted was to see Jesus. He wanted to see the one who had been changing, had changed his heart, the one who he had heard had raised the dead, cleansed the sick. People were given life, true life. So Zacchaeus is in this tree, and as Jesus walks past, looks up, and he says, hurry down, Zacchaeus, for I must stay at your house tonight. Zacchaeus had never met Jesus, and yet Jesus knew his name. My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I know my sheep. Jesus looked and saw one of his own. Called him down. Zacchaeus came and gladly received him. People started grumbling. And then an amazing thing happened. Zacchaeus, when he heard the grumbling of the people, said, look, Lord, half of my possessions I give away. I give away to the poor. Just whatever I have, take half of it right now, give it away. And then he does something even more monumental. And if I have defrauded anyone anything, I will give back four times as much. Zacchaeus had been born again. The things that are highly valued in man's eyes is detestable in the Lord's eyes. Zacchaeus said, take the money. I got the greatest treasure of all. I have Christ. I have the Lord. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. So we see two different standards there. One had been doing really good works all his life and yet knew that he was missing something. And when what was missing was told to him, he could not let go of the world. But Zacchaeus, who had had so much and had such great influence and power, when he looked upon Christ, when he heard his name called, nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. We see a complete, clear picture of works-based morality versus true salvation. Works-based morality will always end up idolatrous. It'll always end up about self. It'll always leave you wanting. When you're born again, you're completely filled. You have Christ. You live. You have joy that cannot be explained. You are overwhelmed by Christ. Amen. So, moving on from there, we're going to look at, so we looked through this. What are we going to look at now? Well, so as I said in the last program, one of the things that we're able to, that we're told, you know, when we look at this, like I just read out of 2 Peter, and we're actually told if you do these things, if you persist in these things, if you keep doing these things, that you're going to be in good shape. In fact, where was it? For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And go down to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Sounds like works to me. Got to do these things. If you don't do these things, oops, there's a problem. Well, my friend, this is where we really get to the dividing line. We get to the change that happens. We're going to look at taking and looking at salvation produces a fruit. It produces a, I want to say a work, and I'll call it a work, but it's not, it doesn't come across as you might think. Not when I say the word work here in America, you say the word work and you're thinking about a job, you're thinking about an activity, whether it's physical, mental, you are doing something. When at work, there's some active thing happening. But when we talk about salvation and the work that comes out of that, we're not so much talking about what we do, but what God is doing in and through us. And that's a key difference. And we're gonna look at that. I'm gonna take a quick break. We're gonna give you a quick little snippet. Do two things. One on who are we at United in Christ Jesus. You can find out, hear a little bit about who we are and how to support United in Christ Jesus. Perhaps the Lord has put on your heart to help us so that we can go out and proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to share both of those with you, and then we'll come back and I'm going to jump into the next part of the scripture, and we are going to be going to Luke chapter 11 and the parallel Matthew 7. So Luke chapter 11, Matthew 7. You turn your Bibles there and we'll be back in about 4 minutes. All right, here we go.
United in Christ Jesus began in 2009 as a prayer and praise email for those in the U.S., South Africa, and Northern Ireland. From that humble beginning, the Lord allowed us to become a registered missions ministry that has reached hundreds of thousands, if not millions, locally, nationally, and around the world. Today, UCJ is active locally in Ohio and internationally in Ireland. Through street preaching and crosswalking, one-on-one interaction, working with local churches in evangelism training, track writing and distribution, social media, our website, and internet radio, we are so blessed by the many ways the gospel is being proclaimed. To find out more about UCJ and the Lord's saving grace in our lives, visit us today at www.unitedinchristjesus.org. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Andrew Fuller has been quoted as asking, "There is a gold mine in India, but it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" To that, a man by the name of William Carey responded, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you must hold the ropes." You see, some had been called to the task of going down into the laboring wells of gospel proclamation, and others had been given the task of holding tight to the rope and providing support to those who venture out. Both carry a responsibility and a reward. United in Christ Jesus rejoices with those who feel called to join us in the exploration of souls. Equally, we value the necessity of those who are given charge of the ropes, in other words, those who support the work of missions through prayer and financial support. To successfully reach our world with the saving message of Jesus Christ, we are asking for your faithful monthly support. Just go to www.unitedinchristjesus.org and click on the Contribute button at the top of the page. Donation options are conveniently listed there for you. Again, thank you for holding the ropes for our United in Christ Jesus team. God bless you.
Amen. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Shane Sands. I'm your host today. I'm the founder and president of the Lord's Missions Ministry, United in Christ Jesus, and you're listening to Gospel Alliance Radio, a ministry of United in Christ Jesus. And today we are talking about true light, true salvation, and filthy rags, works-based morality. Before we jump into Luke chapter 11, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 11 here in just a second. Now, you look at the title, True Light and Filthy Rags. We just got done talking about the rich young ruler and then Zacchaeus from Luke 18 and Luke 19. So we're told, God tells us in the Old Testament, that all of our deeds, which we do in our own righteousness, the things that I do, kind of like the time I heard a guy in the airport say to me when he gave up his seat so somebody else could, you know, take the flight. He was just going to hang out for another hour or two. He was getting really good flight voucher too. But he looked and he was like, "Well, I've done my good deed for today." So the connotation was is that, you know, if I do enough good works, you know, I can feel good about myself, can go about my day, I can kind of like, you know, high five, hey, I did a good thing. So the rich young ruler, none of his works that he had done were counted as any treasure toward heaven. They were as filthy rags. The word is actually referring to a female menstrual pad. It's literally what they're talking about. All your deeds that you do in your own righteousness, the things you pat yourself on the back. I helped enough old ladies across the street. I gave food to the food pantry. I went and built a house for someone. You know, any of those types of things, it makes no difference. Hey, I gave someone a stamp. You know, whatever it may be, when you place your hope and faith in works, what you've done is, in essence, you've created an idol. That idol is self. And you've determined that you can get yourself into heaven on your own merits, although heaven is owned by God. It's His. You don't get into heaven unless He lets you in. So then we see the true light with Zacchaeus. What he valued was Christ. if you go into 1 John chapter 2, you know, but if we are in the light, you know, if we love our brother, we abide in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. True salvation. Well, someone's going to say, but you know what? I can do good things. I mean, we can do good works. We can. I'm not that bad of a person. This rich young ruler was actually a bad person. He had a hardened heart toward God. He loved the world and the things of the world. He did. For him, it was, what can I do? You know, I've got all this stuff, so let me do a couple of things here, a couple of things there, and I'm going to be okay. Or if I need, you know, one or two other little things, I can get that done too. I just need to be pointed in the right direction. So over in Luke chapter 11, as I was preparing for this program and asking the Lord and was in prayer, this scripture jumped out at me. And so I think it's going to help, I pray, illuminate, bring to light some of the differences here. In Luke chapter 11, you'll see, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And here's where we're going to get at now. Suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Holy Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And here's the part that I think really starts to show the difference. First, we're created in the image of God. Even though we are fallen, and every part of us, inside out, every single aspect of us is affected and fallen because of sin. Excuse me. Fallen because of sin. Jesus says, if you being evil, he's talking to the people there, if you being evil, so he's identifying them as evil. He's not saying, you know, you're children of Abraham, you belong to me. He's saying, if you being evil, you don't hear that every day. You just don't hear it. If you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give what is good, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him? So, if we look at the difference, a person who has fallen still has the capacity to do kind things. We can still love, we can still have good intentions, we can still do those things, but it's all tainted by sin. It's all tainted by the corruption of our fallen nature, and we revel in idolatry. It's not a true love, because we're not giving glory to God. We're not understanding where this good act has come from. We don't understand that it is God in and through us doing his work for his glory and his praise and his kingdom. So Jesus is saying, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give what is good, the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So now Jesus identifies exactly what is good. God. God is good. Remember I just was telling you? There's none good except God alone. Nothing. No one good except God alone. Now we kind of make us now stop and think that what we're looking at is not something external, but something internal. The external can easily be duplicated by the evil one. Easily. So there are a lot of good moral people out there. You can meet probably some Tibetan monks, and they're probably going to be more moral than your average Christian. You can look at those who are Mormons, and they're probably going to impress you by their good works that they do. But they're still evil. So when we talk about true light, we talk about an inward transformation, we talk about something that is going on the inside of you that comes forward and it comes out of you and it becomes evident. And when I say evident, I mean it is completely clear. It is completely clear. It's not, oh, well, maybe there's something happened there. Something completely clear. I'm going to give you two examples of how we know this. In John chapter 3, and I'm turning there right now, in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, you go, "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So you don't know where God comes from, but the next thing you know, you see the effects. Those who are born of God have a new nature, a new heart. They have a new being, a new purpose. They are new. And you can see it. An example of that is if we jump back over into Luke chapter 8. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And in Luke 8, and we're going to look at verses 35 through 39. 35 through 39. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done." "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. There is a desire, an earnestness. Here is this man. It's actually two people. One was the main spokesperson that had legion of demons in him. Legion is their name. And they came out, these guys were clothed in the right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Indication, in your right mind, clothed at the feet of Jesus. Jesus becomes central for everything and everyone that you have in life. Then he wants to go with Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, you know, let me be with you, let me be with you. He wants to be with him, desperately wants to follow Christ. And Jesus says, no, go to your home. Tell him what great things. The guy's like, your will be done, Lord. And he goes, and instead of just going to his home, he goes to the entire city. And he starts declaring what great things Jesus had done for him. What great things Jesus had done for him. Friends, that's the difference right there. A person who's works-based, a person who's going to do things, they may even claim to be a Christian, but they're fixated on how they can help the community, churches, build up libraries. There's very little to no desire to make Christ known. The first indication of new birth is a desire to make Christ known, is a rejoicing and worshiping. Tells us in Romans 10 that, you know, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. I think I might have got that backwards. Sorry. It's an inward transformation that results in an outward proclamation. And we have another really good indication of that, perhaps one of the most clearest indications of that. And to do that one, we are going to go to, where is it? Okay, yes, Luke 23. I had just written these things down, so I wanted to make sure. If we jump over to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to look at verses 40 through 43, it's going to be an interesting story of something that's happening at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I start at verse 40 through 43, and actually, and before I do that, let's jump over to Mark chapter 15. We need to start at Mark chapter 15, and there's a reason why. So in Mark chapter 15 and verse 32, you'll hear this. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. So, you know, I believe you'll know that when Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves that were crucified alongside of him, one on his right and one on his left. When they're first crucified, they are both mocking Christ. They're both mocking him. But something interesting happens, and we go now over to Luke. And in Luke 23, 40 through 43, something happens while they're on the cross. Starting in verse 40, but the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In verse 43. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Something happened while they were hanging from that cross. As they're crucified and they're insulting, God opens the eyes of one of these thieves. He realizes now that Jesus Jesus is an innocent man. That Jesus is a king. He rebukes the other thief. He claims, does not have any hesitation to say, we're under the same sentence of death. And we justly, for our crimes, we're getting what we deserve. So he's acknowledging his sin. And then he looks to Jesus and in essence asks for mercy. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. He's asking Christ for mercy. And then Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. How amazing that on the cross, even before these two thieves were going to die, what great mercy and grace is God. That he would declare this thief to be saved. You're going to be with me today in paradise. See, that's the type of work. That's the first thing that becomes evident in a Christian. A true Christian will have a desire to make Christ known. They're going to have this overflowing desire to make Christ known. Because indeed it is Christ who saved them. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You cannot help but continue to rejoice. You cannot help but to shout out hallelujah. You cannot help but tell people of the goodness of God and his great love that was poured out Jesus Christ when he was nailed to that cross. What amazing love. Just amazing. So we know that new birth is evident. We know that the first thing that we see is that a person will have a desire to make Christ known. It is a evidence that happens. When the apostles in Acts chapter 2 had been empowered, they began declaring the great things of God. They were sent out to preach repentance, and they went out healing. They did all of these things, and they made known. They told of Christ. You see all these other things that happen in Scripture. And the first thing, and in Revelation 19:10, the angel tells John not to worship. And he says, I'm one of like your fellow servants. Worship God. We're told what? That the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. And when rebirth happens, it is an overwhelming joy, honor, privilege to make much of Christ. So what about other parts? Well, here's where the trick comes in now. Just like I read in 2 Peter, just like in the other areas, we're called to do things. We're called to actually do things. You know, James tells us, to visit orphans and care for widows. You know, we're to take care of people. In Acts, the deacons were feeding people. You know, the apostles were at first, but then they were like, it's not right for us to neglect the one for the other. So you guys can take care of this, and we're going to continue with prayer and the ministry of the word. So we see these activities, but how do we know the difference? And I guess that's really the hard part. Well, the one part that becomes the difference maker, the one that you can almost hang your hat on, is that a person will not take any credit for what they've done. Not a single iota. I'm going to tell you, it is, man, I just lost my train of thought there. Sorry about that. They're going to tell you it's not themselves. It's what God is doing in them and through them. And so a good indication, a good scripture verse for this is going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. If you jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to take a look. And I love 1 Corinthians 15, one of my favorite chapters. In fact, if you start at the beginning, I love the beginning of this. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. That's just, oh my goodness, it doesn't get any better than the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul says something, you know, right through here, talks about, then as one untimely born, you know, the Lord appeared to him. And I'll start at verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Remember, you know, you hear that. I labored more than all of them. Here he finishes it. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Paul later on will tell us things like boasting is necessary, but it's not profitable. Well, I think that's actually two chapters earlier, not later on. Paul does not look at himself, but he says, it's not I, but God. Don't look at me like I've done anything. The only thing I did was blaspheme God, persecute his church, get people to try and, you know, blaspheme and deny Christ. Don't look at me. I'm horrible. No, he says, it's God. Things that I'm doing, it's all of God. So moving on from there, let me see. Da, 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 da. Probably now, the last two parts of this, and our time is kind of running a little short here. So a works-based morality, a false salvation, will always be indicative and will manifest itself with works that are not driven, not originated in the heart from love to exalt Christ. The Holy Spirit is given that we might glorify the Father by honoring and exalting the Son, by glorifying the Son. But when we're born again, we want to see much of Jesus and less of ourselves. This this type of selfishness, this type of workspace will always be manifested in, well, I did this and I did that. And you're always trying to do things, always trying to do. And it's never good enough. The true light is when we see that we're the problem in the first place. The true salvation happens when we realize that we haven't loved God. We haven't honored Him. We haven't loved God as He has commanded us to. We've actually rebelled against Him. And in that acknowledgement of our guilt and His worthiness, then an amazing thing changes. We no longer see anything of ourselves as being worthy of any good thing, but we see the Lord working in and through us to glorify the Father. If we look in Romans chapter 8, you're going to see a couple of verses here in verses 5 and 7. You know, we'll see, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Then you see in verse 8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So you see that our minds are changed, our entire being has been changed, and we're no longer looking upon the things of the world. We're looking upon Christ. We're focused on Christ. Where is Christ? I want Christ. Everything becomes that. And so everything we do, whether we preach the gospel, whether we work quietly with our hands, whether we're at work, whether we're at play, regardless of where we're at, what we're doing, it's about Christ. It's about honoring the Lord. It's about following in His steps, persevering, rejoicing under affliction. Why? Because Christ was afflicted. And we want to share in His sufferings. We want to follow in His steps because we want to be where He is. And so we don't have to say, it's nothing I've done. It's like Romans 4. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. I can't do it. The only thing I can do is bring about wrath. But just like the leper reached out to Christ and cried out to Him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And it says that Jesus, moved with compassion, said, I am willing. And He touched him. The clean touched the unclean and cleansed him and made him well. And that's the difference. You see, works are going to happen. We're going to do good things. We can. But the one who is truly set apart in Christ is never going to look upon themselves. They're going to put and focus and look to Christ and say, Christ, look to Christ, look to Christ, trust in Christ. The other is going to be, I've done really good things. I've done good in my community. I've done good for my home. I've done good for my children. And it's never looking to Christ as the author and perfecter. It's never looking. So there's two huge differences. So as I sign off for today, I want to say thank you for joining. I've got a short amount of time left. The Lord bless you and keep you. I pray it's been a blessing to you, but above all, I pray the Father has been glorified, the Lord Jesus Christ been honored and exalted. Grace and peace. Tune in next week. It's a great program. Next week we are going to have John Doyle on, from South Africa, and we're going to have Shane Mahoney from Ireland on. We're going to be talking about a couple of mission trips coming up. Really looking forward to it. So until the next time, grace and peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. And yeah, have a good one. Take care now.